This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الفقيه هو الفقيه بفعاله ليس الفقيه بنطقه ومقاله وكذا الرئيس هو الرئيس بخلقه ليس الرئيس بقومه ورجاله وكذا الغني هو الغني بحاله ليس الغني بملكه وبماله.
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه ما بعد. Today's khuluq of the characteristics of the believers is one that is easy to understand but difficult to give examples for. And it is a khuluq that the Quran praises and in fact says is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the khuluq of being dignified. It's a difficult concept to give examples for, but the Arabic word is haybah or waqar or sakina or murua. All of these concepts, the believer exudes a sense of dignity, a sense of respectability. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in the Quran, وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَخْرِقَ الْأَرْضَ وَلَنْ تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ طُولًا. Don't walk pompously on earth. Don't walk in a manner that's not befitting. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla says, if you walk in this manner, it's not as if you're going to carve a hole into the ground or going to compete with the stars or the skies. In other words, put yourself in your place. Don't be pompous and arrogant. Walk in a respectable manner. And Allah says in the Quran, speaking from the tongue of Luqman, that Allah says that waghdud min sawtik, that Luqman tells his son that don't lower your voice when you speak. Inna ankara al-aswati la sawtul hamir. The most obnoxious type of speech is the speech of the donkeys. So when you speak, don't raise or lower your voice too much. Speak in a dignified manner. Don't speak like the donkey. What is the point here? The point here is that the mu'min or the believer exudes a self of respectability, dignity. The believer does not act in a manner that is unbecoming. And in fact, even during the rituals, especially during the rituals, we do not do things that go against sakina and waqar. Once the Prophet ﷺ was praying and some of the Sahaba came late, and when he went to ruku', there was a commotion in the background. People were running quickly to get to the salah. When the Prophet ﷺ finished the salah, he said, hadith is in Bukhari Muslim, and we should all know this hadith. He said, O people, alaykum bis sakinati wal waqar. I command you to have peace and dignity, waqar. You must have dignity. When you are coming to the salah, if the imam has already started, then walk with dignity. Alaykum bis-sakina wal-waqar. Don't run, don't rush as if you're doing a marathon run. It's not befitting. And what you catch, pray with the imam. And what you have missed, make up afterwards. And still to this day, when we go into ruku', we hear people rushing from the back. This is not from the sunnah. It goes against the sunnah of dignity. Even for the salah, you don't run. No, there's a dignity that you come to. In hajj as well, when the Prophet ﷺ was on his camel from Arafat to Muzdalifah, and people began rushing to Muzdalifah, our Prophet ﷺ said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَسَّكِينَ أَسَّكِينَ. He made a motion with his hand. Oh people, tranquility. This is not the way we act. This is not the way we behave. Even in ibadat, we don't go crazy, right? There's a respectability. As-sakina, as-sakina. By the way, if you've ever done hajj from Arafat to Muzdalifah, Allah protect us. Allah musta'an. That is the most chaotic time. It's literally like a mad rush, a sprint, as if people don't follow this hadith. As-sakina, as-sakina. And Allah Azza wa Jalla criticizes the opposites in the Quran multiple times. The concept of safaha, or acting foolishly, or the concept of being arrogant. All of this goes against the etiquette of the Sharia. Now, the question arises, I can also add here very quickly, the concept of sakina, it is a very common Quranic motif, and Allah links it to His blessing. Allah says that I send down Sakina to the believers. It's a blessing from Allah to act in a dignified manner, especially during times of chaos, especially when people are losing their minds, and you show respectability, you show tranquility. Allah says, this is my Sakina coming down. So for example, even in Ghari Hira, when Abu Bakr and the Prophet ﷺ were there, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ. Allah sent His Sakina down and calmed Abu Bakr and the Prophet ﷺ down. When it came to the Bay'ah of Ridwan, when it came to the oath of allegiance, Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran that Allah knows what was in the qulub al-mu'mineen. Allah has seen إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فَأَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah sent the Sakina when people were getting worried, people were becoming chaotic. Allah sent tranquility down upon all of you. It's a blessing from Allah. The Sahaba acted in a Sakina manner. In the conquest of Mecca, when once again it was razor sharp, what would have happened? There might have been a massacre in Mecca. There might have been. The Muslims might have killed a lot of people. Legitimately so, but Allah didn't want that. They had the right to do so. Allah did not want that. So Allah says in the Quran, إِذْ جَعَلَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ وَالْحَمِيَّةَ حَمِيَّةَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةَ. When the people of Kufr, when they were becoming even more riling up the anger, and they had the old Hamiyah. Hamiyah here means they're riling up the antagonism based on tribalism. Hamiyah, we can call it racism. That we are this, we are Quraysh, we are this and that. This is Hamiyah. So Allah says, when the Quraysh were getting more and more worked up, what did Allah do to the Muslims? فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَى رَسُولِهِ وَعَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah brought you calm. Otherwise, Allah said, you could have caused a lot of innocent people being killed, and we didn't want that in Mecca. So Allah protected the Muslims by granting them Sakina. Point being, we aim for that Sakina. We strive to be dignified. We strive to be tranquil, to exude a sense of dignity, a sense of self-respect. Now, I said it's easy to understand the concept. It's difficult to give examples. Why so? Because what constitutes respectability, what constitutes dignity, some of it is based in the Sharia. And some of it varies from culture to culture. This is why it becomes a little bit awkward. Some of it is Sharia based. So for example, you know, we are not allowed to use vulgar words. We are honest, you know, we are contemplative. All of the akhlaq I gave in the last, 27 days, that is the Sharia. But some of it is cultural. How we express dignity, it's not the same in every single culture. So our scholars say, dignity, sakina, waqar, haiba, it is shown in, number one, speech, number two, demeanor and actions, how you act in public, and number three, even how you dress. Now, speech, demeanor, and actions, these are culturally based, isn't it, right? One word might be considered a curse word in one culture. The exact same word is respectable in another culture. It's a culture-based thing. One word might be too harsh in one culture and it is acceptable in another culture. I travel from England to America all the time, and sometimes I say a word and my audience says, no, that's considered too rude in British standards, for example. It happens. Whereas in America, you can say it in front of children, they don't think it's a big deal. Slight differences happen between cultures in this regard. How much more so when we have a diverse world? Another example, for example, Sakina comes and waqar. Waqar comes in how you dress. Our Prophet ﷺ would dress in a respectable, dignified manner. He never dressed shabbily. He dressed in a dignified. Now, this does vary. What does it mean to dress in a dignified manner? It will change from culture to culture, isn't it, right? It is not sunnah, Ibn al-Qayyim says clearly, it is not sunnah to dress like the 7th century Arabs. That's not sunnah. The sunnah, he said, is to dress according to the dignity of your culture as long as the sharia is met. This is the sunnah. And a man came to the Prophet ﷺ and he had holes and patches and very shabbily dressed. The Prophet ﷺ said to him, oh, so-and-so, do you have some money, some wealth? He said, yes, I have gold and silver, and I have flocks of animals, and I have this and that. The Prophet ﷺ said, listen to this. Allah loves to see the effects of His blessings on His servant. If Allah has blessed you, don't dress like this. It's not from the sunnah to dress shabbily, but it is also not from the sunnah to dress exorbitantly. You see where it becomes cultural, right? There's a fine line between dignity and between flashiness. We don't dress flashy. We dress with dignity. Now again, this is culturally sensitive and it will vary from land to land. So for example, Ash-Shatibi, the great scholar from Morocco. Oh, I say Morocco, I say North Africa, Andalus. He's not from Morocco, he's from Andalus. The great scholar from North Africa and Andalus. Shatibi writes 700 something years ago. He says, he's talking about respectability. He's talking about dignity. And he says dress. And he says dress varies from east to west. So he gives the example, I'm not making this up by the way. In the east, he's talking from Spain, Andalus. In the east, it is respectable for the Muslims to have their hair covered. So they should have their hair covered. Then he says, here in the west, and he means Andalus, 700 years ago. Here in the west, we don't cover our hair. So it is respectable to have the hair uncovered. He writes this 700 years ago, subhanAllah. So we still have this tension to this day. We have audience from all over the world. They see me speak like this. They say, how can a person give a lecture in a masjid and the hair is uncovered, right? Astaghfirullah, la hawla wa quwwata illa billah. This is a cultural thing. Frankly, I'm being honest. I have a whole lecture about this, by the way, as well. It's not sunnah, in my estimation, to dress according to 7th century Arab dress. The sunnah is to dress with dignity. Now, we're going to have some tension. Who gets to define what is dignified? Especially in the modern cultures of the Muslims of America, where we have 50, mashallah, nation states coming together. In this masjid, we have diversity that does not exist in any Muslim masjid in the Middle East or Pakistan or India. Correct? The diversity we have here in this one masjid does not exist in lands back home. So who's going to define what is respectable? We're going to have a little bit of discussion back and forth. So when it comes to examples, I agree, it's difficult to sometimes pinpoint. But the concept should be clear to all of us. And that concept is the believer does not draw undue attention to oneself by acting in a manner that is unbefitting, unbecoming, by acting in a manner that is blameworthy or criticizing. People are going to look at you and say, doesn't he have any shame? Doesn't he have any, you know, sense of dignity? We don't walk or talk or act or dress in that manner. Rather, we exude a sense of sakina. We exude a sense of waqar, of hayba, of dignity, such that when people see us, interact with us, our akhlaq will speak volumes. And by the way, this is something every culture understands. So generally speaking, you know, respected elders, respected politicians, the way they carry themselves, right? It is different than the way, let's say, actors or comedians carry themselves, isn't it, right? This is the concept we're talking about. And in our sharia, this concept has been enshrined that the mu'min brings positive attention, not negative attention. وَقَصِدِ فِي مَشْيِكَ وَغْضُدْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ. Walk in a good manner. This is in the Quran. And speak in a way that is not very loud or harsh, because the worst speech is that of the donkey. So, bottom line, Allah Azza wa Jal wants us to be dignified. And the Prophet embodied that dignity. How do we learn and teach this, and how do we embody it? Two simple points. Number one, study the seerah. The entire life is a life of dignity. And number two, interact with and associate with people of akhlaq and iman. When you interact with them, it will rub off on you. And when you interact with people that don't have akhlaq and iman, the opposite will rub off on you. So be with the people of akhlaq, be with the people of dignity and sakina, and you will see how such people are. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst them, and inshallah we'll continue tomorrow. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
إن الفقيه هو الفقيه بفعاله ليس الفقيه بنطقه ومقاله وكذا الرئيس هو الرئيس بخلقه ليس الرئيس بقومه ورجاله وكذا الغني هو الغني بحاله ليس الغني بملكه وبماله.